Father, we thank you this morning that we can come and proclaim once again the glorious gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Except for this message of the gospel, we would have no reason to stand in this pulpit. There would be no reason for any of us to be gathered here this morning. There would be nothing that we can share that is of any relevance to anybody else that we know or that is in our lives. We would have no hope beyond the grave, and there would be no point in any of this. But because we serve a risen Savior, and because we serve the one who died and has risen again, and who died for our sins on the cross, and has given us a new life so that we are now new creations, and the old things have passed away, and all things have become new. Therefore, it is a joy to be gathered in your house this morning. We have something to tell. We have something to celebrate. And we have something to be happy about, and we have something to share. So, Lord, we pray this morning that you will so fill us with your love, the same love that you have extended to us in Christ, that we will be compelled now to share it with those around us. Take your word, use it in our hearts. We can do nothing of ourselves, but empowered by your Spirit and impelled by your word, we can do your will, we can do your bidding, and we can be used for your honor and your glory. And that's our prayer. And we ask it in Jesus' name. And God's people said, amen. You may be seated. We've talked already, probably, you know, quite a bit in direct and indirect ways this year about sharing our faith, and that is in keeping with the theme that the Lord gave me at the beginning of the year. And if you look around a little bit downstairs and in the halls, you'll see some little posters I had Bennett made of Jesus with the lamb on his shoulders, bringing it back with that joyful look on his face. But we have proclaimed a theme for 2010 for South Norfolk Congregational Christian Church. And that theme is the year of what? The lost sheep. The lost sheep being anyone who should be here and isn't. Whether they know the Lord or don't know the Lord. But if they're out there and they're wandering and they're not living close to the Lord and they're not where they need to be, then God, I believe, wants to lay these people on our hearts. And he wants us to begin to go to them and to, by whatever means he gives us, to persuade them to be back in the fold, back where they belong, and back in close fellowship with the Lord and with each other. And so today we're going to talk a little bit about this passage here from 2 Corinthians. In this book, Paul introduces some what we in our meetings call old business. And then he gets around to chapter 5. And those first 9 verses or 10 are verses that I read at least 50% of the funerals I do, where it says that we know that if our earthly tent, that would be this physical body, which is temporary, so it's a tent that we live in, is destroyed, we have a building from God, eternal in heaven. And then he talks about our we can't wait, we're groaning, we can't wait to receive our new glorified heavenly body. It's not the physical death we're looking forward to, but it's being clothed with that new glorified body that we're looking forward to. But since we do have to shed this one to get that one, in a certain way, we're even looking forward to that. And it's in this passage that he says that to be absent from the body is to be what? Present with the Lord. What a comfort that is for us to know, for our loved ones who know Jesus and have passed on to be with him. And what a hope that gives us for ourselves. And then he ends that section by saying, so. So when so is used that way, it's just kind of like saying, therefore, in light of that. So in light of that, we make it our goal to please him, whether we are at home in the body or away from it. Whatever our status, our goal is to please him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. Anybody here ever appeared before Judge Judy? No. I imagine that could be just slightly intimidating. But think of some other judge. But Jesus is the true and the righteous judge, and we will all appear. Now, those of us who know him, we're not appearing before him for salvation, but we are appearing before him to give an account of the work we've done in him. And indeed, there will be, and in that area, there will be merits and demerits. So, what time do we have to please the Lord? We have it right now. When are we going to get around to pleasing the Lord instead of pleasing ourselves? When are we going to get around to pleasing the Lord instead of pleasing people? I won't ask for a show of hands, but how many here have a problem because you do like to please people and you don't want anybody to be mad at you? And so sometimes you're not as forthright in the things of the Lord and not as open with your testimony as you ought to be because you're afraid of what somebody's going to be thinking about you. We must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ that each one may receive what is due him for the things done while in the body. That's right here and right now. So is today important? Absolutely. Yesterday's gone. You can't do a thing about it. If you've got something from yesterday you need to repent of, do that today. Get cleansing for it. Get right with the Lord and go on, because you can't undo yesterday. Yesterday's mistakes or whatever. And even if you did something really good yesterday, then forget it, because now today is today. That was yesterday. Right? So if we're going to please God, we've got to please him today. And tomorrow's not here yet. You may be planning for it. You may be dreading it, you may be worrying about it, but tomorrow's not here yet. So we've got today to please the Lord. So whether, you know, but we're going to receive for what we've done while in this body, whether good or bad. And then he starts this section by saying, since then we know what it is to fear the Lord. Now this is an interesting little section here, because it's going to be translated a whole lot of different ways. If you check that one in about a dozen translations, you may get a dozen different. Let me read you the original word for word from the Greek. Knowing therefore the fear of the Lord. Knowing therefore the fear or terror of the Lord. Knowing is being familiar with it, understanding it, being aware of it. Knowing the fear of the Lord. What has he just said? We're all going to stand before him and we're all going to give an account to him. And therefore, knowing the fear of the Lord, what do? We persuade men. And I don't know what this try to persuade is here in the NIV, because that word try is nowhere in the original text. Knowing therefore the fear of the Lord, we persuade men. And what I want to talk about in these few minutes here is what motivates us and what impels us and what compels us to share the love of Jesus with people. Because if we're a little timid or we're a little bashful or we're still afraid of what people think, or we think that we don't have the right words to say or whatever, if we get turned on enough for the Lord, we'll be out there sharing. Amen? And it's better to share poorly than not to share. And we have a job to do it. So why do we do it? In this passage, these are all right here from this passage. These are the reasons Paul says we're always out there talking to people and persuading people on behalf of the gospel. Number one, and for those of you who, you know, there's a thing in there with some blanks on it. For those of you who like to follow along and fill in the blanks, now would be the time to get that. In verse 11, we are compelled to witness, or we are constrained, we are compelled to witness because we understand what is at stake. One of the reasons we don't witness more is because we don't understand, or we don't actually dwell on what is at stake. That person we know, love, and appreciate, and that has many fine qualities, we don't understand what it is to spend an eternity in hell separated from the Lord. We don't want to think about the fact that if they don't really know Jesus as Savior, what awaits them? We, understanding the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. Understanding the eternal fate of those who do not know Jesus as Savior. Therefore, we persuade men. We persuade them because we understand what is at stake. This is for keeps. And this is big. If we lose a house in a flood or an earthquake, we can live outdoors for a while. And then we can rebuild the house, maybe. But if we're lost, we're lost. So we understand what is at stake. Number 2, verses 11 and 20. We understand our responsibility. In verse 20, he says, "We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God." So we understand what our responsibility is. We have this information. We have this message. And we have a responsibility to share it. And therefore, we do. We persuade men. Number 3, we share, and we're compelled to witness because we understand the scope and the intent of God's purpose as it relates to redemption through His Son. It says in this passage that in Christ, God was reconciling the world to Himself. I ask you, is the gospel for everybody in the world? Is it for every nation? Is it for every people group? And is there anybody anywhere in Russia or in China or in Africa or in Japan or in South America or the islands of the Pacific or anywhere else on this globe that God reconciles to Himself other than through His Son Jesus Christ? And the answer is no. This is a worldwide scope. That is why Jesus, after His resurrection, says to the disciples, "Go into all the world and do what? Preach the gospel to every creature. Go and make disciples of what? All nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and teaching them to observe everything I've commanded you, and I'm with you till the end of the age." And when we know the scope and we know the intent, therefore, we are compelled to share, to persuade. And by the way, that word persuade means to persuade by word or argument. Well, I just let my life speak. Yeah, we are supposed to let our life speak. If we're not living right and we're out there talking a good game, we're not going to get very far, right? But does that mean that we shouldn't use the means at our disposal to persuade people to come to the Lord? Did He give us a mouth? What's it for? Did He give us a tongue? Did He give us some reasoning powers even? Did He give us a little bit of knowledge of His Word? Why did He give us that stuff? How many here have children or have had children? Huh? Now let me ask you something. You got a 5-year-old. You got a 10-year-old. You got a 12-year-old. You got a 13-year-old. And they want something really, really bad from mama and daddy. They want to go on this trip. They want this new cell phone that their friend at school has. Let me ask you something. What means do they use to persuade you? When you're in the mode of persuading, and some of you wives and husbands too, when you're in the mode of persuading, how do you persuade? insistently. You can't get rid of that kid. That kid's hanging on. But Mom, but Dad. And they pull out every argument in the book. By any means, by any, when we're in the persuading mode, how do we do it? My answer is by any legal means available to us. And that applies to the gospel. And Paul did that, didn't he? He said, when I'm with the Jew, I identify with him. When I'm with the Gentile, I identify with him. I don't change who I am, but I identify with him. And I'm going to use every means at my disposal in order to win that person to the Lord. Because I know what is at stake. And furthermore, I know what my calling and what my mission is and what my responsibility is. And don't say it's the preacher. Isn't every Christian supposed to witness? We get to doing enough of this, we'll fill our church up. But why? Oh, I did a typo. Second number two. This is the big one. Because Christ's love, what? Impels us. It says, for the love of Christ, in the King James it says, for the love of Christ constrains us. And I looked that word up in the Greek, because you know, but I do like to know what a word means. Soon echo. Hold together. Soon together. Echo to have or to hold. To hold together. You're holding it together. As by, it says in Strong's Dictionary, as by compression. You're holding it together as in pushing in on it from the outside and exerting pressure. Constrained. Compelled. As by pressure. And I get the idea, it gives in there the idea of being surrounded by a crowd of people and you have nowhere to go. You literally have to go wherever that crowd will take you. If you've ever been to one of those concerts or something like that, you might know what we're talking about here. And so, constrained, the love of Christ constrains us, compels us, leaves us no option. What does it? The love of Christ. And I'll ask you this question, and then we'll move through the rest of these quickly, because I know you want to get home. But, here's the question. If you are dominated by the love of Jesus Christ, the love of Calvary, the love that brought him to earth, the love that would make him willing to leave his heavenly home and come down here and be one of us. And the love that would take him all the way to the cross and let those nails go through his hands and through his feet. And if the love that of the Father that motivated Jesus to come and to do all of this for us that we're going to commemorate this morning in the communion and in a few weeks on Easter morning and during Holy Week, if that love so is completely dominating and filling my life, will I be able to keep my mouth shut and not share Jesus with people? If we get full enough of it, you ever heard somebody say, you're full of it? Well, if that it is the love of Christ, that's a good thing. And if we get full enough of it, we're going to forget about what people think. We're going to forget about, you know, we begin to understand the two things. On the one hand, what's at stake and the terror of the Lord. And on the other hand, the love of Jesus. Why? We won't have any choice but to share instead of having to get up in the pulpit and like, come on, let's witness, let's share. People will be saying, how do we get this person to shut up? But the love of Jesus, the love of Jesus will make you stick your neck out. The love of Jesus will make you go places you wouldn't go and do things you wouldn't do and take risks you wouldn't take. So what do we need more of? The love of Jesus. All right, number four. We understand the price God paid to reconcile people to himself. We understand just what to all the lengths that God went to in order to make this available to people. One died for all, he says here in this passage. Number five, we understand the priority that this is. In other words, this sharing of the gospel and of people being reconciled to him. We understand the priority this is to God. It's shown plainly in that parable of the sheep. The 99 were left back in the fold, and he goes out to seek the one that's out there. This is a priority. Number six, we know that all people need what God offers. Forget about whether they're Mormon or Jehovah's Witness or Roman Catholic or atheist or nothing or whatever they are. That's not the issue. The issue is, do they need salvation? Do they need Jesus? Do they need the cleansing of the blood? That's the only issue that we're dealing with. And everybody, the Bible says all have sinned. So maybe they were raised in church. That's not the issue either. Do they know Jesus? And number seven, we know, I use this word, we know we've been deputized. Boom! Put that badge on there, boy. Get out there and do my work, because you've been deputized. You've been authorized. You've been energized by my Spirit. And when you go out there, you're not talking for yourself and you're not representing yourself. When we speak to somebody about the Lord, who are we representing? Him. Not about me. It's about him. When an ambassador from the United States goes and meets with a top leader of the UK or Chile or Brazil or Iran or any other country, when an ambassador from the United States goes and meets with a high-level official of another country, who is he representing? Is he there for himself? No, he is not. He is there and he has something important to say. And it's not on his own behalf. It is on behalf of the one who has authorized him and has sent him. So when we talk to people about Jesus, we're doing so as an ambassador. And that's what he says here. We're ambassadors. And it's like God is out there reconciling the whole world to himself. But he's doing it through us because we're his ambassadors and agents to deliver the message. I used to sell cars. How many didn't know that? Because I allude to it frequently. It's like God has provided the product and he's put us out there to sell it. Think about it. Through Jesus, he's provided this reconciliation. Oh, and it's free. And it's available to anyone. There isn't any group, there isn't any person that doesn't qualify. Oh, and if you want it, you don't have to wait. You can have it right now. And you don't have to jump through a whole bunch of hoops. Yes, you have to, well, you have to believe Jesus is who he said he is. And that he did what he did. And that he did it for the reason that he says he did it. And that that applies to you. And then you've got to want it and open your heart and receive it. That's basically the message. It's not a complicated message that we are taking to the world. Why would God use just regular old people like us to do his work and to bring people to himself. I don't know, but we're all he's got by his own choice. And if anybody comes to know the Lord that you know, he's either going to use you or he's going to use that other person that you're saying, Lord, would you send somebody else to him? But don't wait for that. You're probably the one he wants to use. And number 8, we understand the urgency. Today, this passage ends, is the day of salvation. Just like we don't have yesterday and tomorrow hasn't come yet. Right now is the accepted time. But I would just say, the love of Christ is the number one motivation for sharing this gospel. So, as we understand that, what should we possibly be praying for? Lord, so fill me with the love of Christ that I won't be able to do anything other than share your message as you give me opportunity. Who? You'll know who. They're the people you know. They're the people you associate with. They're the people you see. They're the people that the Lord puts in your pathway. And the more you do this, the more joyous it's going to become. The more you do it, the more you're going to want to do it. Because you're going to want to see what God does in lives when somebody no more qualified than you or I take the initiative in Jesus to share his love with somebody for the right reasons, just because he told us to. Shall we pray? Father, we thank you this morning, and Lord, we acknowledge that a lot of times we're a little fearful. And we acknowledge that a lot of times we let time pressures get in the way and personal preferences get in the way and we let other things get in the way, and that we're not always quite, we believe in your Son, but we're just not quite filled enough with his love in an active way to make us, just require us to go and do what we know in our heart and in our mind that we need to be doing. But Lord, we sang a song this morning. He gave everything. And if that isn't love, what is? And if we can't share about him, he gave everything. And that would be us willing to also, anything we give is small by comparison to what he's given us and done for us. So Lord, this morning, we come now to commemorate what Jesus did. And so we pray that that'll have special meaning to us as we remember what Jesus did for us on the cross. And then while we do that, remind us that there are billions of people out there that still haven't heard the message, and that there are people in our lives that have heard it but still haven't received it or acted on it. And then guide us and show us what we need to be doing. That's my prayer, Lord. And I just pray you'll use it in our hearts today. You didn't just do this for us. You did this for the ones that aren't here this morning. So guide us, we pray, in this. And speak to our hearts. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.